You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight we discuss Poor Things, because I can't say this guy's name.
Yorgos Lanthimos.
Yeah. Oh yeah, say it like everybody knows what that is. Yeah.
Yorgos Lanthimos.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are puke. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir! Yes! I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes,
the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. That's hysteria.
Podcast, the Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
How you doing, Brian?
I am fine. I am here for Furious Jumping and Furious Jumping Alone.
Aren't we all? You two may tongue play me. It's fine.
We also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Brian, you've been satisfied three times today already. How much more do you need?
Wait, you can't go again?
I mean, you can find someone else. It's fine. It's fine.
A flaw with men. It's we all fine. Know.
Even the best in the world.
Perhaps it's a flaw. Perhaps. We also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey. And here we are talking the best dark comedy of...
ever.
Ever? I was going to say of the year of like 2023 or... What year is this? This was last year. 2023.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. But you say ever?
Sure.
You had so much confidence going in, and it just evaporated.
It was just refreshing
like
to see
something.
Sounds like
a furious jumping experience.
Well, it's been so long, Mike, I wouldn't remember. But, you know, to watch something so fucking, like, visually pleasing and also upsetting and, like, thought out and funny and dark and getting so much praise... Yeah, dude. I don't know. Right now, it is. You know, it's fucking great.
Yeah, I think it. After watching it the first time, I was like, "Oh, that just overtook Barbie for me as best comedy of the year."
Yeah, I agree. Way better than Barbie.
Yeah, I laughed out loud so many times.
Yeah, actually, I think I saw it as like the Frankenstein Barbie. Some reviewer called it the Frankenstein Barbie movie, and I could not fathom what that was like. And as soon as it started, like within like the first 20 minutes, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is great.
Yeah, I went into it hearing that it was Barbie for fans of Bjork. And I also figured that one out pretty quick.
Especially with the costumes. Yeah, okay. That's exactly. Big shoulders. Big shoulders normally means like in the Disney world, big shoulders means like evil. But in this one, it's
wait,
not.
Wait, does it?
Big... Oh, yeah, they always have like the points or the large. You know.
These were puffy.
Oh, yeah, she's not evil. Really just think of like Ariel's wedding dress, which has the giant also. And she's not evil. I mean, I guess you could argue that, but she's not evil.
She's a fish demon, Kristen.
Just because she's pretty, Jared.
Oh, demons can be pretty too. What a very pretty retard. Am I right?
Oh, my God. No. Fuck, dude. Oh. Come on.
It was a line in the movie, all right?
It's a line in the movie. That's right.
I know it was, but that was one of the...
But should we be repeating it?
No. Yes, because it was hilarious.
No. It was so funny.
It's so funny, man. Yeah,
because it just comes right at the top. It's just like, oh.
You know, look, if this offends you, you need to leave right now. I mean, it's just about to get way worse.
Setting the tone, like, oh, you're uncomfortable now?
Fuck yes.
Miss Prim, we...
Challenge accepted.
Well, I think as soon as they described her, she's in a state of undress, even though she's in an adult human body, and they were like, "Yeah, she's the brain of an infant." I was like, "Oh no! Like,
oh,
what is this movie?"
No.
especially because I have seen the director's other movies, and I was like, "What is going to happen?" I was so nervous.
Everything's gonna happen, Kristen.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. I was really like pleasantly surprised with how this movie turned out.
Yeah, same.
Turned out in what sense?
It was happy. It was cheerful.
Yeah, like the resolution at the end of the movie?
Yeah, it wasn't super dark, you know. Nobody died or, you know, is living a
Well, I mean, people get transformed into goats and stuff.
Well, that's not death, you know.
They're still together. He's fulfilling his marital duties.
You think she fucks the goat, dude?
No, I'm saying he's over there and she doesn't have to deal with him.
He said she's fulfilling his marital duties.
Those were not marital duties as far as she was concerned.
Oh, well, I guess that's true.
I thought, you know, I liked her explanation of she was fixing him. She was improving him, making him better.
Women can always think they can fix you, bro. And apparently they can.
And clearly they can.
On a certain level.
And men always think that they are conquering everything, including the women that they want to take home with them.
Go there. We're gonna fucking go there. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Yeah. I think you have to go there. This whole movie is about ownership.
This whole movie is about that. This whole fucking movie is about that. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, how many women have basically had this experience where as soon as they have some level of sexual agency, every man is like, oh, I want to fuck that. In the grossest kinds of ways.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to have sexual agency for that to happen.
Well, that's true. And that's also part of the...
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's not just only you know, men either. It's also at the whorehouse. It's with the madam. She's also controlling her as well. It's still ownership.
When she pounces on her and goes for her ear,
dude. I'm sorry. Sometimes I let not get away with myself. I thought the earlobe was a little weird, but when she went for the stomach, I was like, that one got me. I started laughing at that one. I was like, that's fucking ridiculous. Why would you do that?
She's got a scrumptious tummy.
I guess. It's just like such innocent body parts, like all the other stuff all these other guys are doing to her, and this woman wants to go for earlobes and little pinches of fat.
I did think it was funny though, because it's like when you see a little kid and you like, there's like part of you don't actually do this normally, but you're like, oh my God, I could just eat you up. This woman's like actually eating her up.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. This movie is like everyone's intrusive thoughts get verbalized or acted upon.
Which I actually really enjoyed. It was actually very refreshing to hear everyone's honesty come out.
Oh, yeah. I fucking love that in movies. Like, and this does that superbly. Like, that was one of the most interesting things was people just fucking say what they mean. They say what they're thinking, especially when she just starts calling people out.
Oh, but
I love those moments.
Well, my favorite though was when she, right after the scene in Alexandria with the guy Hasley, whatever his name is, and she's like, "Oh, thank you for helping me understand," and he's like, "No, I just wanted to see you suffer," and I was like, "Thank you."
Yep. Yep. We're all sitting in the audience, like, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fantastic.
I love how every interaction that she has causes the people to like become introspective and see themselves from like a different viewpoint. That's one of those moments like maybe he before hadn't actually admitted to himself that that's what he was trying to do, but he was just so depressed or so nihilistic or whatever that he's like, yeah, no, I was trying to fuck you up. I'm sorry. That was shitty. Oof. Maybe I should do something about that.
Oh, did he have the last thought though?
He didn't. I don't know that he did. That's what you kind of hope for the character, I guess. Maybe get some hope, dude. Come on.
I don't know. It seemed like he was going to stay a cynic at the end of that conversation. What did she say to him? Like, you're just like a scared little boy that's afraid to let the world in, or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. And he just like shakes his head, like, maybe. Yeah, yep. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess a lot of the guys don't really. I guess Mark Ruffalo is really the only guy that something terrible happens or he's actually changed.
But that's because we follow him. We don't really see the other characters throughout the whole movie like we see him. I mean, other than God doesn't change and the candles guy doesn't change, McCandles. I guess she's the only one who really changes because she had her brain. It's alluded to that the only reason she changes is because her brain is maturing and she goes from infant to adult.
Really quickly.
Really quickly.
I don't know. I had a hard time even watching it the second time, gauging how much time has passed when he starts moving into the house, taking notes and doing the observation thing. It's kind of hard to.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that the entire movie.
They don't really age her at all, so it implies that it happens quickly, but also a large amount of time could have passed.
Yeah, this could have been 6 months. This could have been 2 years. This could have been 5 years. Like, there's very, very little to go on, except for the only time we hear something is when they're on the boat and they're like, well, in 3 days, we're going to be at this place. Mm-hmm. So, like, was that whole boat trip like a week, 10 days maybe? Or was it actually a couple months? Like, we don't really know.
Yeah,
they could have gone to more places that were not montaged.
And then, like, in Paris, when she's at the whorehouse, it's like, oh, man, yeah, some of that seems like it goes by so fast. And then it's like, well, there's got to be a lot of time that's taken place because we get all these sex montages.
Right, well, right.
And also, I really noticed the passage of time not being shown because when they get kicked off the boat, it's at Marseille. And then next they're in Paris. And that would have taken at least a couple of weeks.
Oh,
they sort of referenced that, but not really.
I thought they just got that wrong.
No, it's just,
because they don't show that. They are like right there on the boat, and then the next thing, they're on the street of Paris.
Well, okay, how much of that do you think was like intentionally done? Because every single fucking exterior, the sky has been replaced to look interesting and weird. All of the locations have really interesting design that's like really reminiscent, but also not quite exactly like. Looks like they're in a couple different places. You know what I'm saying? Like this is very clearly some sort of alternate world. It's not our world 100 years ago. It's some other place, maybe 100 years ago, maybe now. We're not actually really sure. They don't really say anything about that.
Yeah, I was totally tripped out by the to call it a horse-drawn carriage is it's just the front of a horse.
It's a horse steam carriage with
and
the
he's
head
got the
on.
Giant fucking wheel, man.
That was great. And so random, because you haven't really like left out and seen the outside world at that point.
Yeah, but you have seen a chicken that barks like a dog, and a duck goat, and a dog chicken, and a pick and chip.
Well,
and,
you know that's like... Frankenstein's, Dr. Moreau's laboratory. There, we expect to see weird shit there.
Yeah, those are just normal, normalifying. Wow, normalizing.
The weird world.
Her whole setup of being a baby in a woman's body. This is just like illustrations of this happens, and it's a thing that he does a lot.
I do like that William Dafoe. He's like playing a Dr. Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster at the same time. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I actually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. His face looks so cool.
So interesting.
Yeah,
every time he's on fucking screen, man. God damn.
That's funny because people always confuse it. When you say Frankenstein, they always think you're, but no, that was the doctor. So yeah, no, that's good. That's a good
Now everyone gets it right.
Yeah.
They're both correct.
God.
Oh, that kept cracking me up every time.
Dude,
every time.
What a great recurring joke, like to just set up the level of ego of this guy, but also... so many other commentaries on everything in that sentence. So great.
God says men have no souls. Well, actually, I think God is the author of that very idea, but never mind. Oh, and I was cracked out when he tells one of those stories, William Dafoe, about his dad finding some scientific fact out about torturing him as a kid. And then the guy's response is like, oh, Jesus.
Dude, my favorite moment is when he's like, our feelings must be put aside. Do you think my father could have branded me with hot irons on my genitals?
Jesus Christ.
The way he did?
Yeah.
The guy's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And even when he says, good God, and Emma Stone's reaction of like, yeah, I guess that's good.
Hey, man, if you don't know any better.
It's so great. the levels.
Well, there's
of
also so much commentary on like nature versus nurture, like being raised in this environment as an infant woman that's an adult, but also a literal baby. This movie is doing a lot of work in many, many layers.
And it all works, I think. It's fantastic.
I think so, too. Yeah.
All right. I was wondering about the gender of the baby, the infant.
You don't know.
Well, all right. So William Dafoe says baby when he's telling Emma Stone's character about the whole thing and everything, right? And then she repeats back to her like, oh, I'm mother and daughter.
Oh.
But that's not what William Dafoe's character says. He just says baby, yeah. And she just drops mother and daughter. But that's the only time it's brought up. Every other time it's infant or child or baby and all that
when
other
they
stuff.
Show the baby, you don't see anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they left it ambiguous on purpose. And I thought it was... It makes sense that she automatically assumes it's a daughter, I think, but we don't know. It's not clear.
I like that. It makes it more fucked up that you don't even know.
I mean, at that point, it's sort of irrelevant.
Yeah, why does that actually matter to any of this? I didn't even necessarily think about that.
Oh, well, I mean, the reason I thought about it is because the movie, it's, and I guess I need to look this up about the scar in her stomach, but the movie never brings up, because she's having so much sex, possible pregnancy, never brings up menstruation. And you would think that these are things, if you had an infant brain, right, like you'd have to teach, you know? Yeah. Like, and there would be like, I mean, I'm sure some kind of conditioning or something, you know, or some kind of nature instinct for a woman or something, you know. But like, this isn't brought up. It's not taught. It's not even addressed in the movie. There's not even a scene of it. Go ahead.
I did not think of menstruation, but I did think of when she pulls up her dress to show her soft thighs. I was actually struck by how perfectly groomed she was, because I was like, she wouldn't know how to do any of that, though. Like, is she, like, doing that every single day? And I don't think so.
See, okay, no, I didn't think
considering
about that.
How her hair, how the rest of her looks,
Oh, wow, you're right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Especially since the maid said, when she grabs her, the maid's like, oh, she's grabbing my hairy business.
Yeah,
that was so
you
funny,
were right.
Dude.
Yeah, I should have thought of that. Oh, damn. All right. Yes. Okay. So there are some things that are left out here that.
Okay, but actually, we can talk about that. I think is it left out on purpose or was it not thought of? Because this has produced, and all of the people who are doing this are men. And
that's true.
I was reading an article about. Fair. Sort of the difference between this and Barbie, which was that this is all done and very well from the male gaze because there are not women anywhere at the top here.
Interesting.
The director's like, oh, I'm sorry, we forgot about menstruation. You know,
I never really think about it. You know, I never really have to deal with it.
I don't menstruate. You know, it's not a deal to me. You know?
Well, okay, all right. Let's talk about that, because I don't think they needed to talk about that, because that's not what this was about. This movie was not about the feminine experience of body changes and menstruation. This was about sexual agency and agency over one's body and the ways that the male gaze and the male persuasion tries to control those things. And they did talk about like her not being able to have a kid, because they referenced it at the end when he says like he pulled out the baby when he did the C-section when the body died. Obviously, there's going to be some shit that he probably fucked up because he doesn't necessarily care about saving that part of her. So there's not really, to me, I didn't really ever question, oh, she might not get pregnant, because it was very clearly laid out that she was the baby that was already born to her. Like, how could she get more shit happening, you know what I mean?
Okay, that's actually interesting, because I would not have assumed that she couldn't get pregnant just from that. But if we are thinking about that, and that scene where McCandles is like, oh, are you saving her for yourself? So if he is, he could have purposefully, not necessarily accidentally, but he could have purposely sterilized her.
Or she was a literal child and didn't know about it because she was around only men, and maybe the maid didn't talk about it, the woman that was taking care of her or something. Like, I think it's a lack of education, which is also something that I think this movie is trying to talk about, of the ways that we deny information to people who need to have that in order to have full consent over what their bodies are doing.
I think that if they added the menstruation thing in, that just gives men another avenue of control. I actually agree.
I think the menstruation could have come up at the whorehouse. That would have been an interesting conversation because, yeah, I mean, is it another conversation of like some men like this and it doesn't matter that you don't feel good, you need to work? Or that could have been another layer and they chose not to address it. And perhaps it, you know, could have been too messy, but maybe it was cut out. But yeah, it is, now that we bring it up, kind of a glaring oversight.
They did not bring it up in any of the deleted scenes that are included that I saw. I mean, that doesn't mean that's all the deleted scenes. I do like how quickly Bella learned chloroform in a motherfucker is a good way to shut him up.
Right?
Like, I can't believe he was going to let her drink it. Can you even drink it? I thought you just like inhaled it.
Jared, I don't know. I don't abduct people on the regular, bro.
I don't know, but I was just thinking that. I was like, holy shit, don't you normally just put it on a rag and put it over somebody's face?
That is
like,
the way most movies do it.
Yeah, I've never seen like, I got you a whole glass of it right here. Why don't you have a sip?
But that could have also caused, I assumed it was to like mentally incapacitate her permanently so that she would not think anymore.
That's interesting.
That does make my skin crawl when her fucking husband brings up the goddamn clitoris remover fucking device.
Oh my god. And it's even got a labia on it in the design. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Oh god, it's so gross.
Oh, fucked up on so many levels.
It's like straight out of Hellraiser shit.
Jesus Christ.
And then the guy is like just so calm about it. He's like, oh, okay, well good. I'll knock her out and bring her to your place around 9:30. Does that sound good? Fuck this movie, man. I can't think about how many times like I laughed and then would scream and wince in the same fucking goddamn scene or shot.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a brilliant way to do it. I'm very on brand for the director.
Oh yeah,
and they show that everybody in the world is like pretty fucked up. Like she's even on the boat and she like turns a corner and there's like, and one of the guys working on the boat's like killing the seagull,
killing that fucking. He's like, shit on me again,
shit on me, son of a bitch. Like, goddamn.
She walks away and he finishes killing it. Like, wow, dude.
All right.
Clearly someone else is yelling at him. That is the chain of yelling right there. Chain of screaming.
Now that, I don't know why that was included. I have no fucking idea.
It's because everybody's fucking insane. Yeah.
Everyone.
It does kind of prove that cynic's point on the ship, though. It's like, oh, yep, we're all based.
Yeah.
Just going around killing things.
Well, even her first, like when they show her a frog at some point, and she's like, kill it.
That's one of those moments, dude.
Yeah. She wants to watch Mark Ruffalo murder that woman. She's like, yeah, I dare you to throw her overboard. I'm going to go
that
watch.
That was so funny. And how the old lady didn't care. She's just like, oh, murder. How,
how droll. I do love when he throws the books and she hands her another one. He throws another book. I was like, give her another one.
This is the goddamn best Mark Ruffalo has ever fucking
Holy
been.
Shit, man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's tiny in some moments and he's huge in other moments and he has so much like he's fucking fantastic in this for sure.
He's like crying and smacking his head on the damn bar.
yeah.
I know I kidnapped you, but you don't have to be a cunt about it.
So you wish to marry me or kill me? Is that the proposal?
Oh, that is great. They just stayed there looking at each other.
Oh my god, yeah, that long. They just
Oh, it's so good, man.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
You know, when I saw the trailer for this, I was like, I don't know. Mark Ruffalo looks like he's overacting here. This looks like this is too bombastic comedy style. I don't know. When you watch the movie, holy shit, with everything going on, it fits so perfect.
Yeah, it's kind of rare when the actors and their performances actually understand what the movie is. Almost like there's good directing in this or something. That's wild. Man.
It has been a while since we've seen a really good directed movie. I guess we did do Drug Support Cowboy. That was pretty good, but yeah.
It was pretty good. Not on this level, though.
Yeah, touche.
Well, I haven't seen all of Lanthimos' movies, but of the ones that I have, he always knows exactly what he wants and gets such interesting things out of his actors. This movie felt like no exception.
Yeah, and all these shots feel very planned.
Yeah.
All these crazy wide-angle lenses and all these very, very fisheye feeling, even using filters and stuff to give these like circular bokeh. And then I was watching this, some of the stuff, even like the match cuts in between things, these like extreme wides, and they cut in. It's all very planned. Just changing the lens for a single shot.
Well, I kind of loved, like, at first, that one fisheye lens that's super crazy wide, and it's like a 6mm or some level bullshit. The first, like, 4 or 5 times, I was like, oh my god, is the entire movie like this? And then, like 15 and 20, I'm like, oh my god, is the entire movie like this?
Yeah, I'll tell you what's going to blow your mind is, you know those shots that's...
irised?
In a circle, like, yeah, irised?
Yeah.
It's not irised. Yeah. That's a 16mm lens on a 35 camera.
Fascinating.
Yes, and then it's a zoom, and they can zoom it in and out.
Mm, interesting.
Yes, it's amazing.
I love that shit, man. That's one of those things that like makes this movie have a level of rewatchability that's going to be really interesting to do it again, because I only saw it once, because goddamn, it's got such an emotional journey.
I don't know if I liked it all the time.
Brian, shut your mouth. It's beautiful.
I didn't understand the...
drawing attention to the camera?
Well, I didn't understand the placement of them, ever.
That's fair.
It just seemed like they were random.
Sometimes it felt like they were there just for the sake of, do you feel uncomfortable right now? You think you shouldn't feel uncomfortable right now? Well, let's just throw something in that is going to make you question everything that's happening.
Mm.
Well, just think about the scene where God is talking to McCandles in his office when he's finally explaining what the fuck's going on, and you know, and just they cut between these really weird fisheye lenses and then into a more standard looking lens, and it's only for like seconds, you know, only for these beats, you know. So he's using it for emphasis, definitely.
I guess, man. Sometimes, I mean. Like the wide shot where William Dafoe is like burping the bubble out and it pops. Why was that
in the opening? Yeah,
I don't. It's, that's just come on.
All I could think about during those is, and especially when you see like the think about the opening shot where he gets called God the first time and they're walking to the place and it's like they're going down the street and the fucking lens is like warping crazy on the side. I'm like, how are they doing these effects? With these fucking warped lenses, that the characteristic of the lens, how would you warp your image to make it feel so correct through the aberration of all these fucked up weird lenses we're using?
Okay, I actually have insight on that because fucking Red Giant did that exact thing. They built a plugin to like read what a lens is doing and then deconstruct that so you can do fucking visual effects and color correction and shit.
Because you'd have to.
And then add
wild.
It back in. So it's essentially like there's a level of like they do several lens tests and figure out the entire warping parameters, the aspects, all the ways that the lens changes the image. And then they do like a fucking flip it and invert it so that they can add shit. And then it flips again.
I don't know how they do it because the image
is weird.
Moving.
It's crazy.
If
it's
it was
cool.
Static, I understand it. But this camera's moving and there are fucking like everything. It's warping the way the lens does. I was like,
I'm sure they got track markers, you know, because man, come on, dude, that sky is all green screen.
The whole thing is a
fucking set.
It
feels
like the whole thing's a set.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did not like some of the fish eyes when they're moving. I don't know. Those were my least favorite of all the fish eyes. And it did start zooming in. The zooms at the end.
Yeah, they did a lot of zooms.
Man.
The zooms get sloppier throughout the movie. They actually have like hard like stops every now and then. I'm like, why are we doing all this beautiful stuff and this is like janky?
But see, that felt like they were doing that on purpose. And I didn't
really
get that. Yeah. Because again, like it's at the end of the movie. It's very bizarre.
Well, that's interesting because that's the kind of thing that maybe they were fucking up some stuff and they just ran out of time or whatever, and then some things were purposeful. When you have this much like visual purposeful kind of attempts at things and then stuff doesn't work sometimes, then people can assume that you're doing the broken, messed up shit for on purpose, you know what I mean? And vice versa, right? Like if you don't necessarily have some of those planned out kind of things, then when it becomes actually well executed, people are like, they just got lucky or whatever.
Some of the sloppiest camera work is on the ship, in their bedroom. Some of that stuff is a little, you know, but the rest of it is really, really, really solid.
Sloppy in what sense in that bedroom? What do you mean?
Just like, you know, some of the pans just kind of don't land exactly right. Or like I said, the zooms are a little like, you know, stuttery, or they just kind of like hit hard at the end. They don't feather out.
Yeah, when she comes up to the door, I can't remember where the shot is, but it's like a shot following behind her, Emma Stone's character. She comes to like one of the doors in the room and it stops and zooms in and it's janky.
Yeah. I remember that one. What can you do?
But it's, I don't know. It seems like they did that on purpose.
Sure, they did it on purpose. It's art, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Are we ready for a trailer?
Sure, man.
Yeah, refresh me what this looks like.
All right. We're going to play the trailer for Yargos, Yardies, Yampathus.
Lanthimos.
Yeah, that guy. We're going to play the trailer for Poor Things. We'll be back.
How marvelous.
I forget what the other fucking three things were, Jared.
Delighted. How do they make this pastry so fucking crisp?
This is Bella.
Bye.
Bella, this is Mr. McCandles.
Hello, Bella.
No! Oh, she's an experiment.
Good evening.
Her brain and her body are not quite synchronized. But she is progressing at an accelerated pace.
Tell me, where did she come from?
I shall. It is a happy tale.
I am Bella Baxter, and there is a world to enjoy, circumnavigate. It is the goal of all to progress, grow.
A woman plotting her course to freedom. How delightful.
Right, we're back. That was a trailer for Yargos Lanthimos. Poor Things.
Poor Things.
That poor bastard with that name. Nobody with the English language is going to be able to pronounce it correctly. Anyway, how'd you guys think of that trailer?
I think it does a reasonable job conveying some of the tone, or at least implying it. Like I can see the tone that happens from the movie. I don't know if I would have gotten the level that it had from this trailer.
You definitely see the wacky style. You're missing the fucked up shit.
Yeah.
I do see what you mean now that Mark Ruffalo, you thought he was going to be over the top based on the trailer.
Bella!
Stella!
No, Bella. Like when he gets slapped and says ow in the trailer, it's like, oh yeah, okay, that's kind of cute. But when you see it in the movie, god,
oh, it's
damn,
so great,
so perfect.
It's, yeah.
Right.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
That's actually sort of the thing, is usually when you see bits like that in the trailer, they're less funny in the movie. And so I almost don't think this is the best trailer for this, because if you look at this and you're not super familiar with the director, you're just seeing this trailer, you're going to be like, yeah, okay, maybe. It could have some interesting moments in it.
It looks like a Tim Burton film.
It does. Yeah. It does have that kind of a vibe, yeah.
Well, I mean,
for people who are stretching for something to qualify it with, yeah.
Yeah, I would say just based off the trailer. I don't think the movie feels like a Burton film at all.
Oh, right, but just based on the trailer. And just based on the trailer, it almost looks like a movie that you would go see just for the visuals and not necessarily for the substance. Mm. Whereas I actually think that the visuals are stunning, but that's not the movie stands on its own.
Speaking of visuals, what'd you think about all the crazy costumes?
I love them. And it's interesting because that's clearly based off of, you know, the Victorian period, and they modified it for her. And so you have all these colorful outfits. And there's also a really wonderful progression of when she's an infant to when she's a human. You know, she's wearing, you know, more smocked clothing and more ruffles, and she's much more, she's dressed like a child when she is an infant, and she's also always in some sort of state of undress, and she just takes off her pieces of clothing, which I really liked. And you can see how, she can keep clothing on the older she gets. And the style also is sort of changing and reforming. And when she's in Paris and she's wearing that condom coat, and I think that is the...
Is my that what least, that's called?
That's what I'm calling it. And it's my least favorite, but I also think it fits perfectly with what she's doing in the stage of her life. And, you know, even being a prostitute as she is, I think it works so perfectly. And she's homeless, and it looks like a rain jacket, a very stylish rain jacket. But then to also, you know, you can see it changing again when she starts going to school and becomes a doctor scientist. It's all really wonderful. And also, the more she matures and the more she's very focused, you know, she's not really wearing color. She's wearing very neutral tones, and she's cut off a lot of the big accessories, like the big sleeves and the ruffles and all of that, which is a little sad, but also it's not, you know, it's more practical, I suppose, too.
No, I found that a very interesting progression to have so much of the early part of the movie she had all those giant sleeves. And then, like, while she's kind of in her, like, she's doing the prostitute thing, she's learning stuff about the world, she's like that felt like she was becoming more of a person, and she let go of the sleeves. I loved that they fucking brought him back towards the end of the movie when she was like, all right, you know, I'm going to still have some of that playfulness of my youth, even though I still have this understanding of who I am now.
Yeah, I agree. And I also really enjoyed the wedding dress. This is the first time I've really seen a wedding dress was like, oh, that looks perfect for her. And
the veil's fucking awesome.
I love the veil so much.
So
perfect,
cool.
Perfect. And you even, yes, she brings back the sleeves for the wedding dress, but they're, you know, see-through, and you can see the wire caging, and it's just like a very updated artistic version of what she used to do. And I also love that it's transparent, translucent. You know, you can see through it. You can see her arms. And it's, I kind of enjoyed that as a representation of, like, I'm being very translucent with who I am as a person, you know, this is who I am. And this is, you are choosing to marry me, and I'm choosing to marry you. And I thought that was actually a very beautiful representation in the clothing as a reflection of their personalities and their characters.
Yeah. That's incredibly well stated. Yeah. Cause that was the moment that I was thinking when I said they brought it back, because, like, this is what God and McCandles knew her as, was the young person with the flary arms and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I am still that person, but I'm also totally different. I'm a completely new person. And seeing her underneath that thing that you used to know is so illustrative. Again, that's where this movie, like, does so well, of having multiple layers of the obvious things. And some of them are really on the nose. And then there's a lot of subtlety to it. And that's a really fun way that they added that in.
Exactly. I think it's so fun because it is so big, but it's also so subtle at the same time. And I also really, all of the costumes, all of them are fantastic. But the one that I really, really enjoyed is when she's at that dinner before she gets kidnapped on the boat. And she's wearing the pink, when she's dancing, and she's in a state of undress. She takes off so many pieces of clothing, but she's wearing basically like a t-shirt. It looks like a petticoat of some kind, but it's pink, so it works really, really well. But she's clearly not wearing as many clothes as everyone around her, but she's still dancing and having fun. Because I remember the first time when she ran out on the dance floor, I was like, what in the world is she wearing? But it fits. It works. She's having fun, and she's, you know, she's hot. Why would she wear her top?
She could just naturally dance. Kill it.
I mean, naturally dance there is a stretch, I think, but I enjoy the way she's moving. She's having fun, you know, she's so stilted, and it's fantastic, though.
Oh, I thought that was a beautiful illustration of, like, trying to feel good in your body, but not necessarily knowing what, like, the societal norm is, because there seemed to be some of those like coordinated dances, which in like another movie could have been like a whole fucking look at this musical number thing that's happening. And they were just like, we're going to move in a way that feels good.
Okay. But I think my favorite part, well, I liked a lot of things about it, but one of my favorite parts was when she starts dancing and Mark Ruffalo is like, oh, is that how we're doing it? Okay.
Yep. Are we doing this? Okay. He's into it. He's like,
and
trying
he's
to
like,
go with her.
I can
yeah.
do it. I can
yeah,
do it.
Like,
I love right, that I so
can,
much.
I can hang. Fuck yeah. Let's do it.
Until that old man starts winking at her.
Dude.
Wait, what are you doing She's with like, your eye?
What are we doing? What's happening?
That's one of those really weird wide shots where he's over there beating the shit out of this guy, but she's like leaving, and you still see it over in the barely edge of the frame. He's just about to whap him in the head with the bottle.
I love that.
It's perfect. Yeah.
That was the good thing about the wide shots. I did like seeing everybody's reactions in a frame, and I could pick and choose who I was got to look at. Second time through, loved watching the maid. Like,
dude.
Every time fucking Emma Stone comes through, like fucking spilling shit on the floor, the fucking maid's
she's
reaction
like, oh.
So fucking great. She hates her so much. I love it. Well, let's talk about the title. Who
are the poor things?
Yes, who are the poor things?
It's all of them, right?
They're all poor things. Oh, poor thing.
But I think, okay. I actually don't know. I was going to guess, but do you know?
I don't. At first, I thought, obviously, it was like, oh, it's Emma Stone's character. You know, she's the poor thing, you know? Oh, poor thing. Right,
but then I think it's the play on that. Yeah,
it's but, everybody that falls in love with her.
Right? Yeah,
oh,
when you watch the movie,
poor things.
Yeah.
It's everyone around her. Yeah.
God damn! How many women have experienced that though? That like they have just some level of their personhood, and then someone decides that they like them, but then they don't. They find out the inner time. Oh, this is who you are, and then peace the fuck out.
Well,
this movie seems like it was written from a place of like some serious. Trauma or not trauma, but like realness.
Yeah, for sure. I actually really love this movie because I think this is a universal experience for women. However, I don't think all women, and I could not even guess, but I don't think women realize it because it's how many women would have any one of those characters come up to her and do that. And she's like, oh, but he really loves me. Oh, I should change
right?
because he's in love. Oh, he feels so strongly. I don't really need to go with my career or go to Paris or adventure. I can do that later, probably. I think that's what makes this movie so special is that she never falls for any of their bullshit.
She's always like, I'm just going to say what's actually happening right now. And then they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're not supposed to say the thing that's... Well,
yeah. She does it one time when she says, oh, but you were trying to help me understand. And he instantly corrects her, which I love. That's why I love that scene so much, I think.
No, I guess she falls for all their bullshit at one point and then wises up to right?
That's true.
That's the thing. But, I mean, I don't know. She always has this agency about her. Like, even before she leaves with Mark Ruffalo, I love that moment where she's like, you know, I know he's bad for me, but he's interesting or something along those lines. And it's like,
it's
you
an
know,
adventure.
It's worth the risk, yeah, right? Let's go get out and see the world. Fuck it.
I must go punch that baby. Yeah, he says those moments as well.
Yeah. I think my favorite moment is the, like, comedy-wise, I was cracking up with the montage of all the different clientele at the whorehouse.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who crawls around on the ground like a fucking spider monkey, and he goes over and, like, starts smelling her hair.
And eating it.
Holy shit.
What the hell? And then the preacher.
Oh, dude, that was so great.
Oh, that
Which
was
one
funny.
Was the preacher?
The one that fucks her real good, and then she's like, oh, sir, you have a gift. God gave you a gift. And he's like, no, an addiction. He turns around, he's got the collar, the priest collar.
Yeah, oh,
he's
like, fuck, the right, fucking, yes. Yeah. God damn. She's like, well, yeah.
And then there's the father that needs to show his son.
Dude, that
oh
was,
my God.
Was the one kid is like literally taking notes. The other kid is like, why the fuck are we here right now? Like, what is going on?
That was amazing.
I lost my shit when she does the wink at the end of that scene, man. I was
she's happy with herself because she helped.
Yeah, she helped.
Sometimes you can stick a finger up the butt or give him a little choke.
Well, that's because
the dad's like, yeah, you're right, that worked. And she's like so proud of herself.
Well, the dad's giving all this terrible advice from the get-go, and she's like, no, look, I got this.
Let me shut up. Listen, shut up.
And then she goes and winks at the kids. I got it, guys. Ridiculous. Oh, so good.
I love how much of her like curious nature still comes through in all those montages. Like the way that it literally feels like she is experimenting. Because she says it later and she talks about, oh, you know, I was just testing some things out. Like, why not go and figure stuff out in like a scientific sort of thing? That is the way God raised her. That is the way her environment was for all of her formative days, weeks, months. We don't know. She's like, yeah, why would I not approach life in that same fashion? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, it was really nice. I also enjoyed the scene in Portugal when she goes out and she comes back and Mark Ruffalo is like, you could have been hurt. That's so dangerous. And she's like, what are you talking about? Everyone says this, but I went out and this is what I found.
And she found her way back. She's like, I got lost, but then I remembered the tram and I found it. And I was like, holy shit, way to go, Bella. Like, I figured some shit out. I'm made also, for adventuring.
It is. Oh, she has adventurous blood in her.
Oh, I have adventurous blood, yeah.
Yeah, but I love when all of these men come to her and say, you know, oh, but I love you so much, Bella. She's like, but what exactly should I be feeling? Like, what should I be looking for to measure this love?
Right?
Yeah, dude. Oh, holy damn. Shit.
It was amazing.
Tell me you don't remember that. Oof. Apparently just saying what's happening out loud changes the dynamic of everything.
Yeah, especially when she goes and talks to the old lady. And she's like, I haven't been bedded in 20 years. And then the dude she's like, this woman hasn't fucked in 20 years.
God, I love that whole exchange. When she's like, do you at least take care of yourself? Please, please tell me. At least. And she's like, yeah.
I hope you use your hands between your legs to keep yourself happy.
Like, goddamn. Yeah.
But even when they're talking about dirty things, it's so polite about, you know, it everything. Is. Oh, it's, it makes it great.
I really enjoyed Mark Ruffalo's character development because I watched it a second time, and that was when I realized that the line that's used on him, you know, polite society will be the death of you, is what he actually says to Bella when he first meets her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And seeing how when he tells her, like, don't fall in love with me, and she's like, okay.
he's like, damn, you're supposed to anyway. Come on.
Yeah, and so he, like, he turns her out and falls for her. He's not, like, but, you know, he becomes obsessed with her. And seeing the way that because he can't control her by ignoring her, he starts trying to, he just loses all sense of himself that way. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, seeing a male character who is very obviously attempting to control a female character lose himself in said female character is such a departure from what we see in most movies, if not any movie ever. Like, I fucking love that part of this.
Oh my God, and by the end, and he's like, don't look at me, demon.
Right? Like, literally trying to get a fucking, like, priest and shit. Like, let's... My God.
Have we gotten to the part of the wedding where somebody objects? Or did that already happen?
We can go back there. Like, do we
understand? Oh, you know what I really enjoyed that was just such a minor detail was all of the hand-drawn illustrations in this, including the postcards and how they communicated through drawings.
Hmm.
I really loved that. And if you notice when she's taking notes or looking at a book or whatever, it's hand-drawn illustrations because... assuming this is an alternate Victorian period, they wouldn't have photographs or not.
Right.
Like
oh,
that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And actually, the first photograph or the first postcard, I didn't think much of it, but then they sent her a postcard that was also a drawing. And I was like, is this how people communicated before they, like, I don't know when people started to become widely literate, but I just thought that was really clever and interesting, and I never thought of it. Of communicating.
That's the 150 years old version of like texting a selfie of where you're at right now.
Like, let me draw this
YWD. It's just a single.
She's filleting a tram.
Yeah, just giant, massive.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I thought she was doing that because she couldn't express herself, you know, in the written word yet. You know,
right.
Yeah, so she was putting pictures
not literate.
There. Yeah, and they were just, I don't know. Returning the favor to her, I
right?
Because like,
if she can't write words, she can't read words either. I guess
right. Which
well,
I
they didn't know
never,
at that
I thought
point
about that
she could read books. You know, when she left, she
That's a good point.
Wait,
yeah.
Do you think she learned to read at the whorehouse in Paris?
No, she reads on the ship.
That was before.
On the ship.
Yeah. Oh,
she
was on the ship. Okay.
The lady and the guy, they both gave her like fucking philosophy, and that's what fucked her up. She's like, oh my God, expand my mind.
Basically giving her school. Yeah. Exactly.
That was the college level experience.
Well, I was just trying to figure out where she learned how to read and like had the time to figure out.
Because the old lady, she's like, I'm worried about, not worried about what's between my legs, but between my ears.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think she knew how to read before that. Like there's implications that there was education happening at Godwin's house.
Yeah, that's true.
And this was just the first time she was exposed to new ideas. Like this is
he was always reading her storybooks.
Right.
So fucking creepy.
What, when they're lying in bed and she's like on top of him? And it's weird.
And then he's like, she's like, I'm sleepy. You sleep here. Then he realizes it's weird. I was like, oh, okay. Oh, thank God. Thank God we're not going down this rabbit hole. Fuck. Yep.
Just give it time. Let her grow up a little bit. Fuck.
But if he had done that, you know, he, it would have been okay because all sexuality is immoral, right?
No, like when the other guy asked him, he was like, are you raising her as your mistress?
Mm-hmm.
Like raising, like,
which
dude,
is what
that,
I thought was happening also,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, it does feel like a grooming situation for Hill.
Yeah, 100%. That but is another layer of this movie. Yeah,
it kind of was though, because he was like, I think you know he God wanted her to marry McCandles, and he's like, but you can't leave, you have to be here with me always.
That was another level of fucking
I read that
Holy
more
shit.
as like the overprotective dad, you know. I
read it,
think that's what they were. I thought, well, that's what they're talking about.
And it's an experiment. You can't change it.
It is. It's a different form of like male control, because it's not always like somebody wanting something sexual control. You know, that's why we have William Dafoe and the madam at the brothel. Like, I think this shows like how women are controlled outside of just a lover or a partner.
That's a very good illustration.
Go fuck someone and bring me 10 francs.
Right.
And
wow,
I thought,
only 30 francs. It seems like it should have been more. Never mind. That's fine.
All right.
I was like, bro.
Like, well done, but also, goddamn, dude. Like,
you're free to do with your body as you please. I charge
only 30. I would have paid so much more. Like, wait, what?
I was trying to figure out how much 30 francs would have been worth at the end of the 1800s.
I mean, it does seem like it would be a couple hundred dollars at least ish if it was, you know. But also, it was 10 francs a day that she had to pay. It wasn't 10 francs a fuck, so she could.
No, I thought it was 10 francs a fuck.
Yeah, I think
it's
10
francs a fuck.
Yeah. Was it? She charges 30, so she gets 20 and the house gets 10.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And so if she only wants to fuck once a day,
she could be okay.
But I don't know if she would actually be okay, or if that's something she would have just said to entice her to stay and then change the rules kind of thing.
Mm.
I saw both happening, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, so many fucking layers of control over women in this movie that are being commented on from a male perspective, which is kind of interesting that this movie is formulated from that side of things.
Well, they also take down cynics and, you know.
Socialists. No, we rise up the socialists.
I don't know. What would you call that? Armchair liberal critics? Yeah, you know. They take aim at everyone, you know. It doesn't matter who you are, Republican, Democrat. You know, we're going to throw some shade your way.
Everyone should watch this movie and just like reassess their own lives based on the ways that they see themselves projecting onto this film.
How many fucking movies do that? God damn. Like,
not many, but Mike, she's no different than the chicken dog, so don't worry about it.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow.
Okay, I think Jared needs to rewatch the movie.
I don't know. The chicken dog was pretty fucking cute. I mean, it was a French bulldog face on the chicken. I mean, I would run around the yard chasing after that chicken. Be like, oh,
come here, little buddy.
Do you know you're so cute?
Do you lay eggs too?
Oh, please. And when they hatch, are they puppies or can I eat them?
Oh, man.
Or can I eat them? Oh, my God. I mean, if they're just regular chickens, I'm going to eat them. But
well,
if they're little puppies,
they have to be fertilized to yeah, yeah. No, it lays eggs every day, no matter what.
Which came first, the puppy or the egg?
Oh my God! That's what the director was trying to say with that. Oh, we fixed it.
Right, that was the only problem with this movie.
The only one. Oh, I guess we should talk some budget here. Budget was $35 million, the director's biggest budget.
Okay. Wow, really? Bigger than The Favorite?
It's a lot of sets for 35 and all the stuff,
Yeah.
And it made so far it's made 33.56 right now domestically, but its worldwide total is 104.5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. I was going to say 33 feels low for this.
Now you can just watch it on Hulu, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, yeah. No, it was on Hulu today. Like, I was looking yesterday. I was like, oh, I should try and rewatch it. And everything was like, rent is not available. You can buy it for $20. And I was like, I don't know if I want to buy it.
Well, I bought it.
Oh, I'm so pissed. Oh, so pissed.
What happened, Ryan?
No, this thing is available for one fucking week for $20. One fucking week, and then it's on fucking Hulu? It's on Hulu. Go fuck yourself.
You don't get the special features on Hulu, Brian.
Way to go, Fox Searchlight, a.k.a. Disney. Fuck you.
Yeah, okay. What, it should have been available longer before it was on Hulu, or shorter? Like, they should. Which
it should have been longer. Pay, like, if you're going to release it for $20, and I'm going to pay $20, that should be like an exclusive window before, like, at least 2 or 3 weeks before it shows up on Hulu.
That's fair.
I pay $20. Yeah, I can see that. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? Why did I pay that much? Like, it should be $14.99.
Why wasn't it $10? Why wasn't it $15? Like, normal things? Like,
what are we talking about here? This
new releases are always $20.
Well, I mean, yeah.
While they're also available in theaters. Like,
yeah. Well, is this not in theaters there? When did it leave theaters?
No, it's still
in theaters.
I think
it left theaters.
Because it has Oscar nods. They should have definitely left it behind the paywall for a while, because that way they'd have made more money.
Right. Exactly. That's what I think. And then on top of that, Amazon Prime, this was driving me goddamn crazy. Amazon Prime has two versions of Poor Things.
What?
Yeah. That are digitally, you can digitally buy. They're both $20, all right? But one, you can get 4K, all right? The other one, you can only get 1080p, and it comes with special features.
What the fuck?
The 4K version, no special features.
What the fuck?
But it's Apple fucked TV? Up. Yeah, you can go and purchase either one. Like, either one you get, you can look at the price. It's all $20. The 4K one, $20. 1080p, $20. Standard F, $20. What the fuck are we doing? Who came up with the system?
Brian, on Apple TV, you get the for $20, you get the 4K with the special features.
Shut the fuck up, Jared. Nobody wants you going around here. Oh, look at me, my Apple. I'm so cool.
That's right. Yeah.
I gotta side with Jared on this one. If I'm gonna buy a fucking movie on digital, I'm gonna buy it through Apple TV, because they, regardless of what you pay for, if it ever upgrades in the future, they give you the highest version quality, and they always include all the special features.
Look, I just wanted to watch it again.
Hold on,
I would never buy digital. Fuck this.
Apple though, hold on, because I don't buy from them anymore, because I bought some stuff and then they took it down, and I was like, but I paid for that.
That doesn't matter. That is digital marketplaces across the board, because unfortunately, every version of digital purchases is just a license for a limited period of time. So
that's right.
If you buy a movie digitally,
Brian has a DVD collection
across the board.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter what studio, it doesn't matter what movie. If you buy something digital, that is an access to their library. And if it goes away, then it goes out of your library that you paid for. If you buy a fucking digital,
that's bullshit.
Buy a Blu-ray, buy a DVD.
The movie police
are going to
show up at your house, Brian, and take all.
They cannot
discs.
Take your fucking. Disc out of your goddamn.
They can take my disc out of my cold, dead fucking piggies right here. You see all 10 of these piggies? Yeah, they're going to be dead.
Because Brian's going to stand in front of his fucking bookshelf with all of his 1,000 movies and say, no, you can't have this.
Never mind.
You
fuck off before
you
I break your teeth.
May not pass.
Oh. I did want to also note why we were talking about. Technical stuff real quick. The shooting dates, I found this interesting. August 2021 to December 2021. Long post-production.
2 years.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. And that's a pretty short shoot.
August to December is a short
that's
shoot?
Short.
That's,
what are you talking
that's
about?
That's kind of short.
That's like 5 fucking months. What are you talking about,
Ryan?
4 months.
4 months. Yeah. That's not that long, man.
It's kind of a long time, though.
For 35, I don't know. I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it's two hours, 20 minutes.
I mean, I'm assuming
movie.
They weren't shooting like every day all of August.
And they had pre-pro before
December,
that, too.
Right?
That's just production days.
Yeah, but they got all this special effects stuff. It's the first time the director and the DP in terms of, like, I think a feature length in terms of what I've seen. I don't know about this, but the director for sure. It's the first time they've worked with, like, actual lights. Most of the stuff, directors worked with natural lights and practicals. I don't know. It does seem kind of short. And I was actually listening to an interview with Emma Stone where they were actually talking about, like, they did like a read and they did like a little bit of rehearsals, but she pretty much did, like, outside of knowing her lines, did almost absolutely no prep for this movie. And they were like, yeah, we just kind of find it on the day.
Oh, fun.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, that explains, I think, why there's a 4-month shooting period.
I mean, it sounds like, I don't know. I'm surprised it was.
I mean, but that being said, considering they found it on the day and there was no prep, this is fantastic. I think they did an excellent job.
That implies filmmakers who have like a sense of taste and aesthetic and style that they're just like, they'll know it when they find it and they want to go and experiment with the collaborators that they have on set. And then if a 4-month period gives you that, then fuck yeah, do it.
Yeah.
You could have told me this movie was shot in like 50 days and I would have been like, yeah, that checks out. But knowing that they were trying to experiment and find some things like this, like, I could see a 4-month shoot.
I think it's amazing that they did all of this in that time period for that budget.
And all those wide angle lenses, I can't imagine how hard it was hiding shit when you can see ceiling and floor and your left and right wall. That's
windows, baby.
Yeah.
But just cleverly placed windows everywhere.
Yeah, I guess they were clever. I never once actually ever
There's
thought
little
about
bitty,
that.
Like round windows and walls and stuff like that that are in just interesting little spots. If you flip through the production stills on IMDb, you can see some of them.
Yeah, they never jumped out as weird though.
Yeah, everything was pretty high key. Like, there's not a lot of like crazy contrast or deep shadows or things like that. Like,
some of the black and white.
Yeah. Some of it, but that's like more easily hidden in the contrasty sort of things. I mean, more from like a production design and set design sort of standpoint. Like,
when it goes to color, it's so beautiful too.
Yeah, it is. It's really pretty,
especially when she's like committing suicide. Think about those shots; they're like immaculately like lit.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the only color you get in the movie before she you get that the sex scene
where she where they fucking.
Well, of course, everything turns into color after you've had sex.
No, it's straight up during. It's like while she's riding him.
She's like, oh, this is what this is like.
Furious jumping. I love it.
God, that is great. That I think that's the like the quote of the movie, man. That's good. That's going to stick around in pop culture, I think.
Furious jumping. This movie has a lot of sex in it for how little is actually portrayed in the trailer. Like, there's one fucking shot that I saw. I didn't see anything else. And there is so much sex in this movie. If you are not expecting it going in, like, I don't know how people would be responding. That's really interesting.
Is she even, like, there's a, she goes over to the morgue.
Oh, my God.
Like,
no,
like,
you're not.
Where it's like, but it's clear.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of, and she's like diddling the dude's dick.
Boing, like, boing, boing. What is this?
And then she stabs him in the face multiple times, like Michael Myers.
That's exactly what I'm talking about with those like fucking emotional juxtapositions where you're like, oh, that's fucking hilarious. And then you like, it cuts out a little bit and she's like, you can see her actually stabbing the dude's face and she's like, squish,
and she's looking
squish.
For approval.
Oh my God. And then it's like, oh, this is horrifying. Holy shit.
Yeah, and McCandles is standing there going, I'm so attracted to her.
like, what happened in his childhood that he's like, this is working for me?
I mean, she is.
I could see the love.
You know, she's pretty high. I mean, you know, she just doesn't know yet.
She doesn't know that she's hot. That makes her hotter.
What? I was talking about this.
Every
she doesn't know she's
fantasy.
Psychotic yet. What is her word? Cruel. She uses the word cruel.
Cruel.
I do like that she was also like a total bitch that helped her husband torture her servants before she committed suicide in her past life.
Yeah, that's really interesting to like learn about her body before.
Because before you get that moment, you're like, oh, obviously she's a total victim. This guy's a fucking creep. Look at all. He's already got the pistol out and everything. And then to find out that she was like kind of also a maybe a psychopath as well in her rich privilege.
Yeah.
That was a nice layer.
I question that a little bit because I don't think she was a perfect person before this, but we're also getting his point of view. And he's like, this is what I think we do to have fun. And this is how I see.
Well, okay. So second time I was.
Point. That's a really good point.
Second time I was watching, I do think that's a little bit why they are pulling from like the, I don't know. Like, it's not just little kids fascinated with death. I do think like there's like, I don't know, some of this leftover like cruelty or something. Okay. That's been like absorbed or something. I don't know. No, I know it's her fetus brain, but maybe it's her body or
the body keeps the score. The body keeps trauma,
muscle memory.
Muscle memory. Yeah, exactly. Like this is what we have evolved to know is what keeps our body safe and keeps our brain safe. And that's one of the things that I found so interesting about this movie is the juxtaposition between a totally separate brain that didn't have any of the things raised with what the body has. And she's trying to grapple with what is this new experience of her environment teaching her things. Her body is telling her completely different things contrary to the environment. And she's trying to understand what the juxtaposition means and how to deal with that and what she wants to do with that and how it makes her feel. This movie has so many layers to it. It's fucking great.
I agree. The only reason I questioned the husband's story, and I'm sure it's partially true, but the only reason I really questioned it was because she was unhappy and she did kill herself.
Sure.
And yeah. He says it's because, well, you were unhappy about the baby. But is that true? That's my only thing.
Right, because that's all his perspective.
Exactly.
Maybe she was unhappy with the baby because it was his baby. Maybe it was, this is going to keep me here for fucking forever and now there's no chance. Maybe his perspective of this is what we do to have fun was just her being like, this is how I'm appeasing you. And she's okay going along with it. That was how I read those situations.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she was a cruel person who liked torturing people, and he did the thing that he did in present day, which was, oh, well, you have a baby, so you're pregnant, so you're sick, so you can't leave the house for the next year. You know, maybe that was what it was. I mean, it could have been anything.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that, like, once she got pregnant, she didn't change as a person. I'm not saying that, okay? Like, because we're not giving that information.
Yeah, no.
Obviously, like, the reason she killed herself is a question mark. Like, what is it just depression, you know, or like, who knows? I don't.
Maybe she didn't want to raise the baby in that, you know,
in that environment. Right. And the best thing for her, the baby, is to just say, fuck it. No, like, we're not doing any of this. I mean, even that in and of itself is difficult to grapple with.
Yeah.
But I like that stuff left out because it's more interesting, right? You know, it's
so much more interesting. Yeah. That enables the audience to project themselves onto the movie.
Yeah,
for sure.
And it gives you more to think about, like, I don't know, leaving the theater.
Well, but I also think it's interesting to leave so much stuff out just because you don't know. And I think it not only shows you where you tend to project, but it tends to show you that how much is missing just in all of your interactions with everyone that you are around.
Wow, yeah.
You don't know most things, actually. You know very little. And I think this movie shows you that you can how you can still live in a really great way without knowing anything. She doesn't need to know her past. I thought that was actually really interesting. She goes with him to learn about him, to learn about her.
Yeah.
And at the end, she's like, actually, I don't need to know this. This is not relevant. I just know I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah. She's got a great line. Ah, so fucking good. I forget what it is, but it's something like that. That was so-and-so's, that was Victoria's past or something, but it's not Bella Baxter's.
Yeah.
That's not who Bella Baxter is. I forget what the line is, but that was really good. We understood immediately at the audience is like, just because that was somebody else's life, that she does not identify that way. I guess that's why I'm okay at the end. Like, and I guess it's happy. Like when she fucking turns that dude into Goat Man, I am, you know, like I'm just on board. You know, like I feel like she's discovered all these things. She's a better person. She's gonna be Dr. Frank. She's gonna be Dr. Frankenstein 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down. I'm here. I'm what Poor Things Part 2
with her best friend/lover.
Okay, I did want to know. Did she? Okay, did she marry the French prostitute and the peon doctor dude? Did she just marry both those motherfuckers? And she's just like living in paradise. And she's like, yeah. And now she's gonna like take her doctor's test. And she's like, man, I'm taking all these asshole dudes, and I'm gonna fucking give these chickens and goats the best brains and bodies they've ever had.
And then you have like in Poor Things 2, the sequel. You have like the evil chickens rise up because they have the brains of all these. Oh my god!
This is actually the prequel to Mel Gibson's Chicken Run.
Oh, well, guys, are we at ratings? Is it ratings time? Anybody got anything else?
We should talk about the music and how the entire movie is built around this like incredibly unsettling score that is appropriately unsettling at times and inappropriately unsettling at other times, and just in general, just
it's very fitting, though. It's perfect for the film, I think.
I wasn't sure which one was affecting me more, like the super wide-angle fisheye lenses that were showing me fucking everything, or the music that was just taking every goddamn note and twisting it while
It resolves at the end, though, and it gets into some, like, Death Cab for Cutie sound and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Toward the very, very end.
One fucking needle drum.
Yeah.
No, but there were some moments where I felt... Honestly, the moments where I noticed the movie itself the most were in some of those, like, super wide-angle lens, music is like, super heavy-handed, and I was like, okay, why are they throwing all these things at me? Like, is there something I'm not picking up from performance or from a line or from this particular moment on a face? Like, why are they just fucking hitting me over the head with all this extra shit? Was that just me, or was that?
What is the extra shit you're talking about, though?
Well, just like
the dissonance and just weirdness.
Yes, like it felt like sometimes there were just times
she's
where
broken,
like
broken. So it's the stuff's broken. You know, it kind of goes into her. She can't find her balance and all that. So the music's off kilter.
I mean,
it gets better as she gets better.
Yeah, yeah.
It still never sounds 100% perfect, though.
Well, it's nothing's 100% perfect, bro.
It's
even the fucking pig dog or whatever has fucking like crazy fucking like, you know, stitches and shit.
Yeah, that did look a little Frankenweenie, didn't it? Yeah, it did.
It did.
I mean, come on.
Purposely so, but it did.
Or maybe Frankenstein-y looking. I don't know. Yeah, it's just easy to go to Frankenweenie because it's a pet. All right. Are we at ratings? Who's going first? Come on. Nobody's going first. I'm gonna go first. Obviously, this is a 10. This has been nominated for 11 Oscars. I guess that's one of the reasons we're talking
11.
About 11. Yeah, 11. Who knows how many it will win? You know, it's a shame that Mark Ruffalo got nominated for Best Supporting Actor, and he's gonna have to go up against Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer.
Did he get the Golden Globe, though?
God damn.
Who?
Wow. Oh, well, okay, yeah, that's because Golden Globes separate things from drama and comedy. So they both won, you know, because Poor Things is considered, you know, comedy from the Golden Globes, as it should be. This is definitely
so. The Golden Globes is a participation trophy. I get it.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, Jared has not been keeping up on current events with the Golden Globes. But yeah, no, they are gutter trash right now due to their discriminatory, you know, voting habits.
Correct.
Apparently, they're getting better, so there's that. But anyway, back to Poor Things. This movie is just... It's perfection through and through. I do have a couple of complaints, but they are so small and nitpicky. Some of the wide-angle lens stuff does bother me and takes me out of the movie and distance me from some of the characters and from some of the jokes at moments. But... man, fuck, like 50% of them are great because I'm seeing so much in frame that I don't even care if it's fish-eyed, you know? I'm just enjoying seeing everybody's reactions in the frame. I'm enjoying seeing all the fucking architecture and everything. It's just, it works so well. And when it goes into color, it's fucking phenomenal. I mean, I guess my nitpicks are just small little nitpicks. Like, I mean, who gives a fuck at the end of the day? Did I have a good time watching the movie? Yes, I did. I had a great time watching it. I like seeing you know, like sex in film back. I mean, like this year has been just like, thank you. Yes, let's bring sexy back. You know, look, we're getting some sex in Oppenheimer. You know, we're getting some sex.
People who complained about that.
Yeah. Wait, the sex in Oppenheimer or the sex in this?
Yeah, people complained about sex.
Oh, people complained about that.
Ridiculous. Oh, come on. Yeah. Like, no, let's do sexy back. Let's bring it back. This stuff works. I think it's really brave of both Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo. Doing some of these positions they're in, like, oh my god, man, I was just like, oh, where was the sock involved? I don't even know. Oh my god. And like the pounding and the thrusting and the faces and everything, like, oh, the actors are so fucking brave. Just a 10 all around. Oh my god, the direction is fucking fantastic. This is not even my favorite movie by the guy. I highly recommend The Favorite. If you like this movie, if you thought this movie was even, you know, enjoyable, please go see that movie. That movie is fantastic. And because we see so much of repeated shit, it's nice to see something different. Thank you. 10, 10, 10. All right, who's going next?
I'm going to make it quick. Yeah, I agree. It's a 10. It's beautifully done. It's interesting. It makes you feel things. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, you're like, ha, that's funny. And then you're like revolted the next second. And like, damn. And it really lends itself to watching multiple times. And I love a movie that can make me do that. And it's just as a camera nerd, this is like camera porn while watching porn. You know, so yeah, it's
softcore.
It's a fucking 10. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Is it? Well, I guess you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no penetration. Nothing goes into anybody's mouth. Yeah. No. Full frontals.
They talk about it though.
Yeah, they do.
Sometimes his dick is salty.
That's not how that
goes. I forgot about that. Anyways, it's fucking great.
All right, we got a 10. Who's going next?
Yeah, this movie is fantastic. I have been looking forward to this movie for a while, and then everyone saw it and said it was amazing, and so I was a little nervous. But it actually was, though. I know when everyone starts hyping it, I have not heard a single bad thing about this movie, and so that's when you start getting a little nervous.
No, I understand that. I get that.
No. It's absolutely fantastic. And yes, I could pick a couple of things to nitpick and complain about and say, oh, I would change this, but overall, it doesn't really matter. This movie is completely perfect on its own, just the way it is with all of its flaws. And I think that you could even say that makes it a perfect reflection of the subject matter, which is that we're flawed, right? And yeah, everything from the costumes to the acting. Yes, the sex is there and done well. I actually was thinking about that I haven't seen a movie with sex presented like this in a really long time.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it a lot. And that being said, I even enjoyed the way they modified, you know, the sky and the location and everything. All the choices that they made were great. I haven't seen a movie this layered and this unique and yet universal in a really long time.
Agree.
And it's well done also, you know, like this is a 10, of course.
Three tens. What are you doing, Mike?
Universal is such a good word for this because it is such an interesting emotional journey. And I wanted to watch it a second time tonight. I decided not to because I was like, it was such a fucking trip to watch the first time, like 3 or 4 weeks ago whenever I saw it, that I was like, I need more time. I need more time to sit with it. I need more time to think about it. I need more time to feel what this movie gave me, because there's so much in it. I kind of love the fucking weirdness of this. Not kind of. I absolutely love the fucking weirdness in this, because all of the moments of like the weird lens choices and the interesting camera angles and the music doing things and like all the ways that they take the filmmaking aspects of it and they make you look at it. They throw it in your face and they're like, this is a fucking weird lens that you don't normally see on this kind of a shot. And it's like, holy shit, I have to both think about this from an emotional perspective of the things that the characters are experiencing and from a filmmaker perspective of, like, why are we looking at it like this? Like, I love that this film spends the entire fucking movie being like, why are you looking at it like this? This movie pushes the meta perspective of its own self into your face the entire fucking time. And I don't see that in movies. I don't see that in media. I don't see that in art. I love that aspect of this movie, and I'm going to watch it again maybe sooner than I want to, but fuck, this movie's fucking amazing. The performances are raw and visceral and experiential, and I love the emotional journey that these characters take us on. I love that we've seen these people in so many other roles, and they take us through a universal experience of what it is to be a woman, a feminist, a person experiencing the world in the midst of terrible things, in the midst of people manipulating. And it's just, there's so much to this movie, man. It's a 10. There's all of the filmmaking aspects are fucking perfect. All of the progression of the story. I love that Emma Stone has done this movie. Fuck, I feel like I should talk for 10 more minutes, but really when it comes down to it, it's a great fucking movie. It's goddamn, it's a fucking journey. And there's people who experience the world like this. And I loved seeing it from a different perspective. I love seeing all the things that are in this. It's going to be rattling around in my brain for years to come. And I'm going to love watching it again. This is a fucking goddamn 10. What are we even talking about?
It's 10. Poor Things.
Wildly imaginative and exhilaratingly over the top, Poor Things is a bizarre, brilliant tour de force for director Yorgos Lanthimos. And star Emma Stone. Just be prepared for adult themes that may unsettle or offend some viewers. Rotten Tomatoes certifies Poor Things as fresh with a 92% tomato meter with a 79% audience score.
79%? That's it? Fuck
people get
you.
Offended, bro.
People are like, oh my god, they had sex in this?
Don't be offended. It's okay to be offended. It's all right.
People saw the trailer and brought their little teenagers to go see it.
Oh, this seems like a
welcome
fun movie.
Welcome to agency.
You got the one kid taking notes and the other kid freaked out. You know,
100%. That is what people are gonna. That is the response to this movie.
So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at moviecrewpod. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
You can find me on Instagram at checkthegate.
Griggs, where can they follow you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's G-R-I-G-G-S-Y Media.
And Kristen, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you can find me on Twitter at Elkins Edits. And wait, what are we doing next week? We're doing Saltburn next week, right?
Saltburn, yeah.
All right, there we go. Ooh. Getting crazy again. More nudity.
You enjoyed the sex, yeah. Come back for more.
I like this theme. And then after that, we'll be doing Dune Part 2. So go out, watch it, see it on the biggest screen possible. And then we'll come back and talk about that as well. What are we going to close out the show with? You know what? I think my favorite track is track 15, titled Alexandria. When she's like screaming and you can't even hear her scream. You just see her screaming and you hear the score take over and you hear that backwards like violin, the fucking piano. Oh, it's great. It's great. I think we're going to do an excerpt. We're going to cut out the first like 50 seconds or so. Because it's like piano based and then it drops out and it comes back in. So we're just going to play that last little bit. This is from composer Jerkin. What's this guy's last name?
Mihoff?
God damn it. No, that is fucking Jared. I'm not going to be able to get that out of my head now.
That's where my brain went. Thank you, Jared.
Actually, his name is Jerkskin, which is almost worse. God damn it. Fuck you, Jared. I need a moment of silence.
I hope you use your hands between your legs to keep yourself happy.
God damn it. Moment of silence. All right. This is from composer Jerkskin Fendrix. Sure. I'm never going to be able to say this without laughing. All right. Enjoy.